Second John, reading verse 7 through the end of the chapter. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves, that you might not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house, and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that your joy may be made full. The children of your chosen sister greet you. We'll end the reading there, this portion of God's Word. It's almost considered arrogant in America to say that we have the truth, or that I have found the truth. It's almost unacceptable. And if you are to say, if you were to say in many circles in America that I have the truth, people would consider you rather fanatical. A fanatical, right-wing, religious nut. I have the truth. We have the truth. And they would probably say, no, well, nobody has the truth. We all have truth. But nobody has the truth. I want to give you just a little philosophical lesson here this morning, or a theological lesson. When somebody says, nobody has the truth, that in itself is a truth or is a statement about truth. Nobody has the truth is a truth they believe in and is non-negotiable and cannot be compromised. When somebody says nobody has the truth, that is an absolute truth they're saying that I disagree with. You see, by one's very statement, nobody has the truth, one is stating what they consider to be the truth. They just denied by what they said the very premise of their own statement by making the statement itself. I hope you see what I'm saying. Some of you do, some of you don't, maybe. But I hope you will understand that when people say, nobody has the truth, they are making what they consider an absolute truthful statement. That is non-negotiable. And the question really is not who has the truth, but which truth do you believe in? Everyone believes in some ultimate truth. Even if they say nobody has the truth, that's a truth they believe in. It's really just a matter of which truth you believe in. We should have picked up on that a long time ago. Even evangelical conservative Christians don't know that. They fall into a pit because of their ignorance. We've been fed that line for years that nobody has the truth. And we didn't know really how to respond, but now we do, and we say, well, what you're saying is what you believe to be the truth. And I disagree with that truth. We're going to have to start being people who think biblically. John believed in one truth, and he calls it the truth. And if you're a Christian, then you will believe that, yes, we have the truth. For example, in verse 2 in 2 John, he says, "For the sake of the truth." In verse 10, 2 John, "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, these propositional statements, this truth, which we have, which is the truth, the only truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, we got it." You say, "Preacher, that sounds awfully arrogant to me." Well, it's not arrogant. You know, a Calvinist can't really be arrogant. Never could. Because a Calvinist knows that he's only saved by the grace of God, that God could have passed over him and never even saved him and thrown him into the pit of destruction, but by God's grace, he didn't pass me by and condemn me for my sin, but saved me in Christ. If that won't humble you, nothing will. And if you're a good Calvinist, you won't have a problem with arrogance. You can say, "We got the truth." And if I've got the truth, it's only by the grace of God. But even though it's only by the grace of God, we still have the truth. John says in verse 1, "The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth." And not only I, but also all who know the truth. Verse 2, "For the sake of the truth." Verse 3, the last few verses, "In truth, in love." Verse 4, "I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth." Yes, we have the truth. It doesn't make us arrogant by the grace of God, but we believe we have the truth. It is objective, propositional, is a body of statements, not dependent on personal feelings or individuals. You know something? The truth will be the truth whether you live or die. If you die tomorrow, the truth will still be the truth. It's like that old oak tree in some of the front yards I see in the area here, you know? That old oak tree seen many generations, and it's still there. And when you die, that old oak tree will still be there. It doesn't depend upon you for life and death. It will outlive you. And so it is with the truth. The truth will outlive you. It doesn't depend on you. Regardless of your feelings, regardless of whether you live or die, after you die, the truth will be the truth. Some people, I think the truth will die with them. Maybe some of you think the truth will die with you. Maybe I, as a preacher, I can think, well, the truth will die with me. Who else is going to preach it? Now, the truth will always be there, whether you live or whether you die. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And if you go into a church where they don't believe in the truth, and they're not really sure they have the truth. You know, there are churches like that. "We're not really sure we have the truth. Other religions have truth too. They have the truth. We have the truth. We all have the truth." You need to find yourself another church. And John goes on to say here that the truth is founded upon two basic principles, two basic propositions. One we find in verse 3, "Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." One of the founding principles of the truth is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Jesus is God. And then he says in verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. That's the other side of the truth, the foundational truth of the Christian faith. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Jesus Christ was a man. Jesus Christ was fully God, and Jesus Christ was fully man. That's foundational truth. And even among all the different Christian denominations in the world, in America, I hope, and I would hope, that we all hold to this as the truth. Now, along with that truth comes a body of truth. If Jesus is the Son of God, then everything He says is true, and therefore everything in the Scriptures coming from God, coming through Christ, is true. And therefore we have developed a body of truth founded upon Christ as the Son of God and as the Son of Man. And we would say that we have the truth. Last week, we saw where John says in verse 6, and this is love that we walk according to His commandments. What are the commandments of God? Whatever they are, they're true, because Christ taught them. And so we can even expand truth from Jesus is the Son of God, He's the Son of Man, Jesus gave us the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments are true. And everything that comes out of that results in the body of truth that we believe. Thus, when we come to Christ, we find the truth. And as we follow His teachings, we find that truth expanded. And if you want to know the truth, if you want to expand your knowledge of the truth, then you can pick up Calvin's Institutes or something like that, or a good systematic theology book, where they deal with almost all the topics about everything you can think about and what the Bible has to say, and you'll find the truth. A whole body of truth. And therefore, we're not ashamed to say that we believe, humbly of course, believing that it is only by the grace of God that He regenerated us and brought us to Christ, and He didn't have to do that. He could have passed over all of us. But He converted us and brought us to know the truth. Now, having said that, even though John knows that this elect lady, verse 1, the elder to the chosen lady, the elect lady, even though he knows that she has come to know the truth, he worries about her. This is a letter where he's worried about this lady. He's concerned about her. He worries about her because he loves her. Verse 1, the chosen lady, or the elder to the chosen lady and her children whom I love in truth. But not only I, but also all who know the truth. He's worried about her. I think that's one reason he wrote the letter. I love you in the truth. And for the remainder of our message this morning, we are going to look at why John was worried about this lady and her commitment to the truth. And the danger there is, and if she falls into this danger, what she is to do about it. John assumes that we believe there is such a thing as the truth. We've got it. You've got it by the grace of God. Now keep it. And that's going to be a challenge. And so he writes out of concern for this elect lady. And he mentions at least three reasons why he's worried about her. He is worried about her. The first reason, it appears, from verse 8, that it is possible for her to lose what they had accomplished in her. John and others who had accomplished much in the proclamation of the gospel. We have a woman here who's converted to the truth, and he's concerned that she might possibly lose what they had built up and accomplished through Christ in her. In verse 8, he says, "Watch yourselves," including her children, "that you might not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward." I'm concerned about some of you. As a pastor, I could stand up here today and say to some of you, I'm concerned about you. You know, I've been preaching here for 20 years. I've been building you up. I have accomplished much by the grace of God. And you know what? I'm concerned that you might lose it. I'm concerned about you. Well, preacher, we believe in the perseverance of the saints. I'm not talking about that. We don't believe the elect can be lost. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that great result of the preaching of the Word that results in your sanctification and your love of the truth. Can be depleted and can be partially lost. And I don't want to lose what I've accomplished. Well, Jesus accomplished it. I know. But Paul said that we accomplished it. Watch yourselves that you might not lose what we have accomplished. Maybe he's referring to Christ here with himself. I don't know. That's not the issue. But we have accomplished something in our ministry. And I am afraid that it could be lost in you. What could be lost? Now, notice here the words he chooses. He doesn't say that she might lose everything. Verse 8, "Watch yourselves that you might not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward." His concern was not that she would be elect and then non-elect, not that she would somehow be able to fall away from the faith, but she could lose the full reward of what God had worked in her. She could receive only a partial reward. She could receive a depleted award. She could be misled down the wrong path and end up in a big mess. And although God would receive her into heaven, he wouldn't particularly be so happy about it. Because she's shipwrecked. She's not going to be knocked out, but she may be knocked down. That's John's concern. Excuse me if I say Paul, but that's John's concern here. That look, everything we've accomplished over the years, all the teaching that I've done, all the preaching that you've heard, that we might lose that. And you know, that's all I've got, basically. Yeah, as far as John goes, I mean, that's all he had. John didn't end up with a big retirement. He didn't end up with rewards from the local men's organization. He had no trophies on his walls. He had no plaques of all his service. John ended up on an island all by himself as an old man with nothing. And he says, the only thing I've got is what I've done through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God is the churches and the godly people that I've left behind me wherever I've been, and I don't want to lose that. If I lose that, I've got nothing. I've got nothing. And it could happen. It can happen. You may lose your full reward. You may lose what I've sought to accomplish in you. You may be greatly hindered, misled. You see, without the pure teaching of God's Word, we Christians can fall into pits and crevices. Sometimes we can make a big mess of things. Yeah, you Christians, you can make a big mess. for yourself, for your family, for the church. And everything I've worked for can be lost in a day. Can be lost in a day. There's always a danger. Being a Christian is not smooth sailing. And John says, what we have accomplished in you, there's a danger of it being lost. It's like a man who spends his whole life building a church. And then to see someone come down or come along and destroy it in a few weeks. In a few weeks. The sheep scatter. And John's worried. John's worried about this lady. Because he knows what can happen. Why do you think Paul had to go back to churches after time and again? Because, not because they were doing so well, but because they were doing so poorly. We're all in danger. We grow cold. The truth doesn't excite us like it used to. We're in danger. You're in danger. You're in danger of being vulnerable. And not only that, but I don't want to lose everything I've spent my life doing. You know. And secondly, he worries because, in verse 7, he says, there are many deceivers who have gone out into the world. For many deceivers have gone out into the world. Those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Now he chooses the word deceiver here. That's very plain. He doesn't say many confused people have gone out into the world. Okay, that's another issue. There are a lot of confused people in the pulpit sometimes. Honestly, just simply confused. Usually if you straighten them out, they accept and go on. We're not talking about confused people. We're talking about deceivers. They have an agenda to frustrate the work of Christ, and they pose as good guys in white hats, but really they're evil, wicked men, and should be wearing, if you watch the old cowboys, the black hats. And they bring to you a false gospel. And they will not stand on the teaching. They will not tolerate the truth. We can assume here they deny the deity of Christ and they deny the humanity of Christ. They deny the authority of Christ. They deny the things that Christ says plainly in His Word. And they are out there. For many deceivers have gone out into the world. They're running all over the place. I'm afraid many of them are in the pulpits. In churches. That's another reason I'm worried. I'm worried, number one, because I'm afraid that everything we've accomplished in you could be lost. Or at least partially lost. I'm worried, number two, because there are people out there who appear to be great men of God, but are nothing but deceivers and have an agenda to work against the Word of God and against Christ. And I'm afraid you won't know who they are. I'm afraid you can't tell the difference. That's what I'm worried about. And thirdly, he's worried because of the vulnerability of this elect lady. She's vulnerable. Maybe because she's a lady. Maybe because she's a widow with children. She's not an elder, the elder to the chosen lady. She's not even a theologian. She didn't go to seminary. She's just an elect lady who loves the truth. But she may be a little naive And she thinks that everybody who comes in the name of Christ is a Christian. And everybody who comes in the name of Christ should be accepted. She thinks that every man who wears a robe and goes by the name Reverend in front of his name is called by God to preach. She's easily deceived. John says, I'm worried about you, elect lady, I'm worried about you. But let me tell you something. I'm worried that we may lose everything we've accomplished. It can happen. I'm worried because there are deceivers out in the world. I'm worried because you're vulnerable. And let me tell you what to do. Shut the door. And you do it because I told you to do it. That's the way you handle them. May God give each of you wisdom, especially you women, single women at home, by yourselves. May God give you wisdom to obey His word. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, help us to understand how we should react, especially the women of our church, especially the single women with children, widows, those who are not well trained in the great doctrines of the Word. May they obey God, not engage these people, but avoid them. Grant us this wisdom, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.